Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the end of our annual spooky special, where we are reviewing every Paranormal Activity movie, which might not be true, according to John.
Maybe not. But Tokyo you can Nights. Consider this the end, the butthole of our adventure.
Yes, we're escaping the butthole of Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, it was. We're just talking about there is a Paranormal Activity 2, Tokyo Nights.
That sounds fun. Yeah. So
maybe next time, folks. Maybe next time.
We'll read IMDb and get an accurate list of movies. But we will review today Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, and Paranormal Activity, Next of Kin. John, I'm assuming, will give us 5-word plot summaries, and he'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis.
We haven't been doing that. I think we briefly talked about it. I skipped last time because I was like, I don't know what's going on in these films right now. It's the same thing.
Okay, we'll just... okay, skip that. Edit point. Not actually going to edit it. And then we'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to deep spoiler analysis. Well, then, how about now that we've finished the whole series, the whole American series are the ones that we've seen, what are your thoughts now?
I'm real excited to never have to do this again.
Till next year? You got to do this again.
No, just no more paranormal activities, please.
Okay.
No more PA Pennsylvania films, please.
I will say, I'm a fan of the first three. I liked the first three. Were they the best ones? No. I feel every other movie since that has been a little bit less, and to the point where by this movie feels like the wrap up movie. So I'm surprised there's like not. That they did a 7. So.
Yeah.
Seven.
I mean, we're quickly going to realize I feel like they're not connected at all.
Very, very loosely, I believe. Very loosely. Yeah. But so, first. Like, yeah. I think that I enjoyed actually the marked ones because I think that they took a big swing on that one for better or for worse. This is the effect of that, the ghost dimension, which unfortunately is shot in 3D. So I hope you had your real 3D glasses ready at home because that took off after Avatar.
I screened it through my Xbox Kinect and had my 3D glasses on.
Yeah. Remember when 3D was going to be a thing at home? I don't know. That was. Yeah. Oh, wait. My previous TV that doesn't work anymore. Came with 3D glasses. It was a Vizio. It came with 3D glasses. Shit. So I guess I could have been living that 3D life.
Not anymore.
As our Lord James Cameron intended.
Exactly. But now we've got the metaverse to go to movie theaters in.
It's the metaverse. What do you remember? What was that place that? Oh, what was it called? This is really old. It was like not The Sims. It was called something else.
That you're going to talk about the movie theaters that had the rocking, it was like very 60s style, 70s style, like the seats would rock.
4D or whatever. 4D. Those still exist. They're still around. This is even, do you remember Dwight having an Avatar character in this? He, from The Office? He was on some... social.
It wasn't like World of Warcraft?
I don't think it was World of Warcraft, though. It was like that. No, maybe. Anywho, I guess I'll just move on because I don't remember the name. I don't remember the name or very vague details of what I'm trying to reference. But anyways, yeah, so. Okay. Yeah, I think that, I mean, all intents and purposes, I think like again, like the first three were really good. I liked them. Four, I did not like. And these other two I will speak about, but five was pretty interesting. How, if we had to, I know we shouldn't compare, but let's compare. How was this compared to the Halloween series? Because we watched about the same amount of movies, I think, right? And I believe.
I feel like the Halloween series is probably going to be more entertaining for me just because.
More memorable, right?
More memorable and things keep happening. It's not like the formula for these films, which still seems to be true for these last two, is nothing will happen for about, I don't know, half an hour. And then right. Something will vaguely happen to a kitchen. And then and then people will finally die like the last 20 minutes. Or like the yeah. Halloween franchise, people are like dead in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'll say that they have the gimmick of 3D, right? And I don't think there's any movie, especially horror movies, that have used the 3D gimmick to any sort of effect. They've all been just like cash grabs, right? I'm thinking like Friday the 13th. I'm thinking Jaws. I'm thinking this movie. This is like, obviously they use it as a gimmick to entice people to go watch it, to watch these movies and to continue watching these movies.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. Wasn't a big fan of this one, but, why don't you give me your first thoughts then, John?
Oh, on PA 6, Pennsylvania 6.
Pennsylvania 6. Yes.
Let me just give you some thoughts that I definitely didn't write down right now. For Pennsylvania 6, for five-word plot summary.
Oh, you are giving me five-word plot summaries.
I have a...
Wait, John.
Just one per each film.
Okay.
That's as quick as I could come up with. I mean, I've been doing it. They've been on this paper for a week.
Well, let's do it right. Let me properly lead you in, as we do.
Okay.
Okay. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Do I? All right, so for Paranormal Activity 6, for Johnny's 5-word plot summary, I have Fuzzy Toby Still Hates Kitchens.
Yeah. So this is when we learn his name, right? Is this where we finally learn his name?
His real name?
Yeah, Toby. Toby the demon. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, they but I feel like they said it once and then they just continue to call him fucking Toby.
I don't remember
really
he got
say his name.
I don't know if he got a name in the marked ones or in 4. It's been a
he
minute.
He got the name in
this one.
No? 4 or 3. No, 4. Oh. It was 4.
Okay, yeah. With the connect.
Okay. Yes. Well, let me make sure because I think I have. Yeah, 3. It was 3. I have it in my notes.
Okay, perfect.
Which just for a refresher, it was Pennsylvania 3 or Paranormal Activity 3. And it says. Oh, I had an alternate film title. It's called Toby, the Real Imaginary Friend.
Oh, that's just really good. I like that.
We should just recut it with like what's the name of that what's the name of that fool that like used to do like every theme song? He did the monk
Weird
sound
Al?
No, he did the monk theme song.
It's a jungle out there.
He did Toy Story. He did like,
oh yeah
something. It's Randy Newman, right?
Randy Newman, there you go. Yeah,
so we should recut the third one, recut the trailer and then just put like a Randy Newman theme song over it. So it seems like a really cute ghost story.
Yeah.
No, this movie is trash, and that's because if anybody was going to replace
your girlfriend,
the love of my life, one of the many loves of my life, Katie Featherston.
Yeah,
it would 100% be the magician's Olivia Taylor Dudley, right?
Right.
This movie was trashed. So bad.
So
I did not enjoy it. I was like annoyed half the film.
Same. Like I was mentioning previously, 3D movies, gimmicky 3D movies. Because we got to separate the good 3D movies and the bad 3D movies, right? Like, this isn't an Avatar. They clearly are using this.
This isn't Friday the 13th 3D or Freddy 3D.
Yeah, like Avatar is trying to enhance your viewing experience. This is just a quick cash grab, you know, like let's suck all the life out of this series.
This is no Journey to the Center of the Earth with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, exactly. So the whole gimmick here is that we find the camera, and a specially made camera, which I thought was hilarious. That it's like, is able.
Oh, this one's got a flux capacitor in it. I'm like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Oh, look at that! It's custom made. You can't even find it on the internet.
Yeah, and which is like, well, I mean, this movie's not that old, right? So it's like, I'm pretty sure you can make one.
Yeah. So this new family buys this house. It was a great deal house, you know.
That is the only thing they remedied. Where they explain how these people were able to afford this house.
Yeah, and like they stumble upon this very 80s-ish looking camera that can see the ghost, and that's our anytime they use that camera, that's our 3D. Which the 3D looks really bad because you have a lot of instances where things are popping up at pumping like CGI popping out at you. And of course, because it doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah, because essentially when you do shit like that, you have to break like one of the golden rules of shooting a film is you don't direct anything towards the fourth wall, but you have to do that for 3D. So, of course, it like really falls flat when you see it in 2D.
Definitely heard all the spooky moments in this movie or tension.
Yeah.
And I guess the only other thing that we go back to the end of 3, we continue. This movie begins with basically where 3 ended, and the girls are being groomed to by their grandmother and their I guess some random man in a ponytail, which where's this movie going? These poor girls.
But this is like the movie that kind of explains like the things that don't make any sense in the previous movies, right?
Like what?
So at least there's that. I mean, because they kind of casually talk about like, oh, well, they learn about like space and like communicating with like space. And they don't really say time ever. But this one kind of really solidifies that these two girls were able to like break through different times and dimensions. The ghost dimension or whatever is like involving time and space. So that's how in the fifth one, they were able to jump into the past.
Right. So the fifth one ends with the time travel. The main character you enjoyed travels back to the first movie. And in this one, these girls are able to not communicate, but they're able to see this new family in the home. Because I believe it's the same home, but they build over it. Is that correct? It's the OG house.
So the house that was burned down that they talk about in the first one.
Yeah.
Which makes me think is the house that, how does this one start? One of them starts with the previous movie, right? The prequel movie. Oh, the third one, I guess. You know how they go to the grandmother's house?
Right.
That was the house I assumed got burnt down.
Yeah.
Unless
I think
it was the other house they were at. See, that's where things get muddy, because it might have been the house they were at initially.
I've never paid a close enough attention, but yeah, that is a little detail that I'm not familiar, that I'm unlike, didn't quite clear. So from what I read,
I was going to say,
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you're good.
Because they mentioned that in the movie that they didn't realize that the plot of land it was built on was where that house that got burned down, where they find that photo in the attic. They're like, oh, this was in my house that burnt down when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That was a plot of land they built that new house on. And that's the only reason it was so cheap, because the coven or whatever gave it to him for super cheap.
Right. So it was the couple, it was basically your mom and dad's house, not the house they retreated to in the end of three. Is that the idea?
Sure. I don't know.
Because I did read a little bit that one of the, because of course they're going to make another, you know, Paranormal Activity. And one of the ideas floating around is about the house. So they go back to the house where it burnt down. So, and they're going to bring back your girl to again, star on it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ideas. It's not in production. Okay. Right? It's just one of the ideas I think they're kicking around from what I understand. So that might solve, that might like fill out that little gray area where what we've been talking about is, because it was only, I believe, talked about, but not like shown or properly explained. So it's not something we missed, you know, it is something they did reference, but yeah. So this new family, for reasons, is got the cheap house because they're setting them up so Toby can come back and have a friend. Is that the idea?
I'm confused because I guess we can't talk about it until we talk about the last film. I don't know. It's like I'm surprised that this movie only came out a year after The Marked Ones, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because it's not good. Like, that's basically what I'm saying. It's like they didn't give it enough time to really like write in some good things to happen. So I'm assuming that this next movie that you're talking about, I guess if they're bouncing around that idea, is going to be a sequel to this movie we're talking about, The Ghost Dimension, and not Next of Kin.
Yeah, they're going to drop Next of Kin. I believe the OG writer-director for this, for the first Paranormal Activity, that guy, he's trying to...
David Goyer? No, I'm just
kidding. He's trying to... Yeah, I don't forget his name. Orlin Perlin or something like that.
U-Bull Jr. U-Bull Jr.
Orin Pelley. There you go, Orin Pelley. He is coming back to write the next one and pretty much wash away the Next of Kin. That has nothing to do with anything. And, but yeah, so.
Little side note. So, the fuck? How many Insidious movies are there? I thought there was only, there is four. Orin Pelley is writing Insidious 5.
Hmm.
Which is being, it's got the same original cast and it's being directed by Patrick Wilson.
Oh, great. Those movies are great. I need to catch up on those. I haven't watched all of them.
Oh, there's a few that aren't awesome, but, you know.
I think it's the third one I haven't finished.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah. not the best one. They're not horrible. They're just not.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, that happens to any franchise, diminishing returns. Yeah. That's just thing as like a perfect, you know, film series.
Have you seen the Evil Dead series? I'm just curious because I can't think of one weak film in that series. So. Unless you count the remake, which that's trash. Just wanted to remind people that the remake of Evil Dead was trash.
I want to say to that, that's a trilogy. This is a continuing horror franchise as a trilogy. Yeah, I would argue that if Paranormal Activity was only a trilogy, it'd be way better, be thought of maybe, more highly.
So you wouldn't count Ash versus Evil Dead as a part of the franchise because it picks up right after Army of Darkness, or I mean like 20 years later. But yeah.
So, I would argue, what about the remake then of Evil Dead if Bruce Campbell showed up? Technically, he's canon, right?
It so, could have been a multiverse thing where he was just in a different universe. Because it was
like
such
the
a
ghost
weird...
dimension. They went to the he went yeah. there. Is that what this is? The ghost dimension. That Evil Dead.
Did you go back and watch what I was talking about? That like tag
no.
at the end.
No, I didn't get a
it
chance.
It really looks like they literally put him in just to say something.
He
like
showed up on set.
Black psych only lit from one, like key lit from like one corner. And then he just says groovy and that's it.
Spoilers for New Evil Dead movie. So that movie's part of that franchise. Is that what we're saying?
Because in the TV series, they just skip over that one. And it just picks up after Army of Darkness, or not right after, but like 20 years later or something. And that is a review of Paranormal Activity.
Hold on. So the video game you're playing has canonically those characters from that franchise. So technically it's part of that series.
So I would argue that they recently patched put them in. Because nobody's playing the game.
Well, you gotta have that. Go ahead.
Because there's no game to play. Like, I bought it, and I bought a stupid expensive version of it, and then I was like, there's nothing to do in this game. There's no story to play.
I would argue that's not a bug. That's a feature of that game. Oh. They're saving that sweet deal. They're gonna give you the whole game. They give you that sweet DLC. Two of the most memorable characters in the franchise, who I don't know their names. So, Mia. One of them was Mia. I remember that.
And the other one was Goth, I think.
Sure. I don't remember David. Or I.
One was Mia, one was Goth, and then one was Pearl and Maxine.
So the fact that they're showing up in the game means that they're part of the overall Evil Dead franchise. So it's there you go. We should get off this now. Ghost Submission was not my favorite. It was very calculated. The filmmaking was very
contrived.
So this is I did read that this is the director's first movie. So he's normally the editor. He's not really the editor for these. And didn't have a problem with the editing, I'll say that. But I just think the story was just all over the place. And the guy who's wrote a lot of these really good ones, Christopher Landon, didn't write this. So he's not involved. Oh. And I feel like he kind of laid the groundwork for this time travel thing in 5. He wrote and directed that movie. And I feel like his input, he clearly was building towards, I'm imagining, maybe he just like, you know, came up with this himself without any like follow up or follow through, you know, but unlikely. I'm pretty sure he had a plan, but did not write it. And so we have different people interpreting this and to mix effect, I think, you know.
Yeah. And also like, because the direction wasn't very good. You could tell like the actors all had like a different idea of what was going on in the scene.
Yeah, I mean the first
the
part of this is
just weren't that great, you know.
First part of this was very almost comedy, right? Like people are leaning into their naturalistic comedy, like let's be funny, which was odd, I think, for the franchise and stuff like that.
Oh, they did keep alive the whole it's a sex tape, which has been like an ongoing joke since like the first one, I guess.
They're all sex tapes,
But no, it wasn't very good. And I'm wondering if this was the writer director you're talking about's idea to make the dimension. And I wonder if he was going to make it like a Hellraiser type of thing. But then it turned into whatever it was, where I was like, oh, that's kind of boring.
Just like I a feel like world. I reflect now on this, I don't think they ever had a clear idea of the motive of this demon. Aside from it wanting to come to like our human, you know, existence or whatever, this parallel reality. Aside from that, I have no idea what its intentions are. Like, I don't understand its like its plan, like its overall I don't know, what do you say? Like like motivation, right? Like what does he want?
I could have sworn we saw a version of Toby already like flesh out, right, in one of the other movies. I vaguely remember there being like a...
Well, I think they added it like a three-step process, because not only did he need the girls, they needed the boys, and then they need this girl. So yeah. It's been like a three... They've decided to have like this whole ritual be like a three-step process. He needs the marked ones, he needs the girls for some reasons, and then he needs this girl of this family, which was set up for by the witches, who want stuff apparently.
Right. And it's yeah, and it's kind of a bummer that to round off the series, like the last one, I swear, has nothing to do with the series. But it's more
absolutely
cut and concise about what its intentions are about with all this stuff.
I say a film franchise doesn't get like maybe not the recognition it deserves, though it is the first one is heralded as a classic is The Omen. The Omen starts off with a little kid, right? And there's the second one, which isn't very good. But then there's a third one with Sam Neill, where he's much older and he's like becomes the president or something like that. And that like they actually wrote. Maybe the Antichrist is an easier character to write. He just wants to be born to rule over Earth in some sort of like biblical sense, right? Like some biblical nonsense they write about. But I mean, at least that had like a through line. Like I'm having a hard time understanding what this demon wants. Like, okay, so he's here, he's human, he's naked, and he has this girl. So now what? Do we go eat at Arby's?
Oh. You know what?
He gets a job.
A commentary. Maybe the writers of this film, I mean, I'm just making assumptions, so I'm making an ass of myself, but maybe they're ultra right wing, right? And this is an allegory for how immigrants are coming in and just destroying America, and we can't do anything about it.
Well, that's just a shame if that's the case. I'm perplexed. Like, I would say at least Next of Kin answers the question that I'm stumbling, that this, I feel like this franchise is stumbling to answer, which we'll get into our next review. Did we want to do spoilers?
What's there to spoil? That the movie sucks? Okay, what happens? Oh, I think, Toby finally gets fleshed out, right?
Yeah. Toby gets fleshed out at the
very end.
Yep.
So is this one? I thought it was a previous movie, but it's this one.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. That's like their only really big reveal is like, oh, he's finally real.
Yeah.
And they all die.
So this was like, I think, a good movie. If you're a fan of them, that kind of, I think, touches a lot of the other ones and kind of feels like a summation. Feels like the end. Feels like this is the last one. So they reference all the old movies while trying to push it forward with a really terrible 3D gimmick. And that's it. That's it. Toby's here. He's human.
Yep.
That's it. He's done.
Snaps that lady in half.
Yeah.
Grabs little girl's hand and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. I don't know. Not the best.
Well, there you go. No.
Okay. John, do you want to give me... No. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what.
I'm going to give this piece of crap 2 sexy, spooky bones.
Okay. I think it's still better than 4. 4 was terrible. 4 was, in my opinion, the lowest moment in this franchise. To me, this is just... And I say that not because of quality, because I feel like just that they didn't have any fresh ideas. They just were borrowing from not only old, from referencing the franchise it was in, but also that they were taking references from other movies. And there just, to me, there wasn't enough there as a quote unquote, the first sequel of Paranormal Activity. Yeah.
So I didn't like it either, but I will give 4 that it introduces them as the 2 young girls, which become kind of like the focal point of what's going on the rest of these movies.
Like Katie and what's her face?
Yeah, Katie and them.
Well, Katie, the 4 is the one with Hunter. It sounds like you're describing 3 with the one with the when they're little
maybe
girls.
I'm talking about 3, yeah. Yeah, you're right. So the one with Hunter and Wyatt, right? That's 4.
Yeah, the connect and everything. Yeah, that one I feel didn't have anything really unique to tell us or explain to us.
Oh, and well, I didn't like that one because I'm a PlayStation guy, but you're an Xbox person, right? Well, you're a Switch person.
I'm a Switch person now, yeah. So and I feel like Ghost Dimension was slightly better than that. I will give it 3 sexy spooky bones.
Okay.
Alrighty. Let's move on to Jason Blum described this movie as, let me get his quote. He says it was one of the worst movies and he will not continue the franchise because of it. Okay, here's what he said. He stated he despised the movie and expressed no interest in continuing the franchise. So that's what is the IMDb factoid.
It's hilarious because dude just happened to produce some of like the best movies. He has nothing. He's just a producer. I don't think people understand how little you can be creative and still be a producer of big movies, you know? Like if it wasn't for James Wan, Insidious wouldn't be what it is, you know?
No, yeah, I think that I 100% agree with you. I think he does get a lot of the accolades and none of the criticisms. Right. I do feel like there is a neat idea of making horror at a certain budget with ideally the idea being that like we'll give people opportunity to make the movie they want. Right. But that's the, you know, elevator pitch for the whole idea of Blumhouse, right?
Yeah, which I will say the first Annabelle movie is so fucking terrible, and this movie is far superior.
Okay. With that being said, like I feel like do you have any 5-word plot summaries for this?
Oh yeah, I do actually.
Okay. All right. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Paranormal Activity 7, for my 5-word plot summary, I have Amish posers love S&M.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make much sense unless you see the very end, but
I have one. I just came up with it. And okay. Then you'll get how I feel about this one. Just for funsies, all right. I have Deadly Blessings, Midsummer, not Amish. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so we've come to the last film. Jason Blum cites he despises it, and it's called Next of Kin. It's pretty simple setup, right? It's a pretty simple idea. It's just this, you know, documentary crew wants to make a film about some seclusive Amish people. And they go out and talk to strange Amish people. I feel like we've seen the plot of this before. Like,
definitely.
Like a Deadly Blessings, Wes Craven's movie. Like Midsommar. I can't still say it.
Midsommar. So just replace the U and summer with a no.
Midsommar. Yeah. Midsommar. There you go. Got it. Maybe even Wreck, too. It might be did a little bit of the Wreck.
A little bit, yeah.
I will say, despite Jason Blum despising this movie, I actually quite liked it. I
enjoyed the shit out of it, yeah.
Okay, cool. Give me your first thoughts, yeah.
I truly enjoyed this one. I understand. I mean, that's where I hit a conflict, because I hate to say that I understand where Jason Blum is coming from. I know I was giving him shit earlier, but it is...
Right.
It's in the same vein, but it's still a departure from the series. But with that, it's like also very concise. There's no guessing or trying to like reading between the lines. It's like very straightforward, and this is what's going to happen. And the kind of reveals are a lot of fun, and especially like how it's twist after twist after twist. And then I almost hated the very last twist at the end, but then I kind of enjoyed it. The more like it was going on, I was like, oh, this is kind of a fun ending scene, actually. It's very like ominous and just really creepy.
Leaves the door open for a sequel. What that ever could mean, which was actually really, really, I agree with you. I liked it for those same reasons.
I don't know. Well, we'll get to that later. I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
So never mind.
I think the cast is really likable in this. They seemed
sign of the times, right? They get that guy to come pick him up, the driver, the super tall dude, and he's like, "Oh, don't know, I've already gotten COVID like 6 times. I'm good."
Yeah. They had some really I don't think this was improvised, this movie, as much as some of the previous ones, but I thought their performances were very natural. I thought they did well what they were given. And there's actually some funny bits in it, right? When the guy falls off the horse or rides the horse or some shit. That was kind of fun. And I think that probably...
The jump scares were good.
Yeah, I thought the jump scares were fine. And I thought this is probably the best looking Paranormal Activity film.
It looks really good.
That I've seen in quite some time. I think maybe the Marked Ones was pretty good too, but this movie just looks like a movie. Like it looks like a really well shot, thoughtful movie, tagged with all of the whatever documentary stuff as well, kind of peppered in there.
Yeah. And when I'm talking about the jump scares, there's just like several moments where like you just see things kind of lingering in the background. Or the little kid that sleepwalks scared the shit out of me every time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck. Because they're out in the middle of nowhere. It's like its own little, like, it's got a very From sort of vibe where they're out in the middle of nowhere. What was it called? The Colony House in From, right?
Yes. Yeah. Colony House. Yeah.
It's kind of got that vibe going on. So every time they go outside, like it's like complete darkness. I'm like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And I did like some of the sequence where she gets stuck under the bed was just a lot of fun. I thought it was,
oh, that was cool.
Unbelievable because they're anyways. Yeah. It's night vision, but there's a light on and the guy's acting like he can't see. There's a light on in night.
Yeah. Oh, with that said, though, when that happens, I think the idea is, I don't think this spoils anything. The idea is she freaks out because he lays on the bed because the bed sinks in because it's like an old like steel frame bed with the springs. And then when she crawls out, there's nobody there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they like she maneuvers the camera up just to film that there's nobody. There's actually nobody laying on the bed. So that was a fun sequence.
For like the last act, that was like such a great payoff because it's like purposely starts slow and then when it builds up and when it like really builds up, it's like, whoa, extreme.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think yeah, same. Yeah, I didn't really think that, you know, I was having fun watching. I don't know if I was enjoying myself. Is that weird to say? But like, I was fine where it was going and how it was progressing. Like, I mean, I already kind of knew what the fuck was going on. This movie's like, you could see this. You could guess this movie like within the first like 10 minutes of like what's going on.
Well, I did figure out one thing, but I did not call one of the other things.
Okay.
Which we'll get into in spoilers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like it almost feel like the having the paranormal activity name associated with it was like a hindrance, but it's probably why this movie got made. Cause they said it would tie to the series in some way.
Straight to Paramount Plus, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe they had some issues with COVID around the time. So they didn't want to release it. We weren't releasing anything in theaters. So they decided to make it exclusive to Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Which I'm trying to figure out what the issues might have been because this movie came out 2021.
Right. I don't know. I just think that, I mean, I think even in 2021, they weren't releasing enough movies. So maybe they were just afraid it was going to die.
Yeah, I guess so. Which, I don't know. They should have just, I mean, if they released the last one in theaters.
I don't see 3D. What the issue is.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, should we get the basis of this one since it's so different? There's like there's very little connecting this to the actual franchise.
Cool. You can walk me through that if you'd like. Yeah. And then we'll just go to spoilers.
Is that so cool? This young lady hires her friend, her best friend? Question mark.
Sure.
I'm not sure what his relationship. I don't know what the relationships are to each other. I just know that they work off each other really well.
Right.
Because they also don't spell out who these people are, except for her, because she's the important one.
Right.
She's adopted, and she's trying to find her family, and she realizes that she's connected to this Amish family, and this one young guy who, that's like another fun twist, who this guy ends up being.
Right.
Shows up and says, like, I'm your cousin, and is able to convince his family at the farmhouse in the middle of nowhere to, like, bring them in
for midsummer,
exactly. And then it slowly turns into like things are getting fucking out of hand, and for some reason nobody's seeing these things except for her, but you realize why later, right? She's being targeted,
right.
And yeah you realize obviously this family is not on the up and up, and if you've seen any of the other movies you just assume they're essentially kind of like the coven, right? But they're not. Right. They're different. Mm-hmm. They're still different.
So big spoiler. Big spoiler. They're not Amish. They got Wi-Fi.
They got Wi-Fi. What was the reason? They summoned some demon. Not Toby, as far as we're aware.
He did have a name. Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah. it's Tobias. Oh, shit. No. What was the idea? They were getting their village was being picked off or some shit.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I kind of missed that part for some reason.
I did too. Yeah.
Yeah. But they conjure this thing to kind of get rid of some people, but then they realize they can't control it. And I'm already getting into spoilers, I guess. Cause
this is like spoilers. We're in spoiler zone.
Yeah. Okay. They realize that they need to like force this demon into another female body so the baby can contain the demon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would just keep going on to like the next child as long as it doesn't go to a male, which kind of connects to the Mark ones, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Because otherwise, like, they can't control the demon. And for me, the big reveal or the big twist is she is being I don't know, prepped to be the next vessel to contain this demon. And there's like a witch down there, which I assume was a part of the other coven or whatever, to contain it. Otherwise, they all die. And her friend, I guess you can call him the director, right? Goes while the other dude, like the tall dude, is like fixing the car for reasons. And he has to go down a well that's inside of the farmhouse that goes super fucking deep. And that part was really like actually pretty good because it was really scary how far deep this well goes. And there's only this like ratchet crank system to bring him back up in a harness. Goes to like a lair underground where they're performing the ritual on her, and he like pushes the witch away, and she wakes up, and he's like, "Oh, we got to get out of here." And then that's when you notice that there's something on this throne behind them, right? This like big lumbering white sort of like kind of looks like what Toby looked like in the last movie, but it's not Toby,
right? Yeah,
you realize it's our protagonist's mom, who was holding the demon, and it has like vastly altered her appearance and what she looks like. And I think the demon's just kind of really taken over, sort of.
Right. Yeah.
Which that I wasn't going to call. I was like, holy shit. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I thought the mom died. Yeah. I agree.
She looks great. Like, she kind of reminded me of the Batman Who Laughs. If people are familiar with that, like it had this some sort of aesthetic. Just not lanky and with a cool duster, but
right.
Because the Batman Who Laughs has a cool duster.
Yeah.
And this thing just starts like ripping whoever's like in her ways, bodies apart and shit like that. And they're actually able to kind of escape after they have like a sort of cat and mouse thing, because daughter thinks she's able to like kill mom by throwing her down this like, essentially what the gun is in this movie, right? Chekhov's gun is that drop, that pitfall drop in the farmhouse upstairs that goes into like a bunch of spikes. But she does not die. And then that's when they like realize when they get to the car, they got to go back and get the keys. Then they got to run back to the car, which that part was fucking hilarious. Cause it was
funny.
Like, oh, where are the keys? And she's like, oh, you know where they're at. And he's like, fuck. It's like, all right, let's go. I was like, oh my God, yes. That's exactly how anybody would fucking feel. It runs towards the farmhouse and it's fucking chaos. There is just like fires and people are like walking around, like just like torn apart. Some of the other people have lost it and are trying to just kill whoever's in their way. There's like blood. It's a massacre. It's like insane. And they're able to get away, right?
They drove away. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you think like, oh, well, they got away. That's good news. And luckily this is out in the middle of nowhere. Cops show up, right? And each of the cops gets killed because a cousin at the beginning that like was able to like lure into the cult or whatever it is, I guess, the next like born male, right? Aside from that little kid that was sleepwalking, but that kid died, I think.
I think so, yeah.
So he becomes the vessel for this like demon. And this is where I'm like, oh, I don't know if they can really make another one after this, because this guy is able to like, with his mind, just make people kill themselves.
Yeah.
And then he gets back, he gets into the police car and starts driving off. He puts this like beautiful old like 50s, 60s ballad. And it's just like a slow, like, what, like 45 seconds of this demon driving or like, you know, the new vessel or whatever. And I was that's pretty cool.
That's a very fun ending, I think.
Yeah. Chaotic and yeah.
She gives out the one thing I'll add to that is that she gives out a scream similar to like the scene. This shot is almost similar to like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the end of the first one, when she jumps in the back of the truck and they drive away.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I saw a little bit of a influence there, reference, maybe, possibly.
Oh, and with that said, also, I truly appreciated her choices, like what the choices are with them.
Yeah.
As soon as she snaps out of it again, she is just fucking freaking out like every 10 seconds, which, you know, usually you're like annoyed, like, oh my God, you're going to die if you don't fucking snap out of it. But I was like, wow, Justified, because she went through a fucking shit ton in like a day.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And she still, yeah, overcame it and was able to like try to trick her mom and kill her mom and not kill her mom.
Yeah, no, it was excellent. Yeah, I mean, in terms of like as a big chaotic ending, like it was very satisfying, I think, for this movie.
Yeah.
Felt like the right ending too. For
also,
this particular story.
All the people that are kind of the bad people, even though you want to understand why they're doing it, but they're still bad people for doing what they did in the first place.
Right, yeah. Bad intentions.
Essentially
they
get their comeuppance, right? Because this thing just massacres the entire house.
What they're doing wasn't right, yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree with everything you just said. Not bad at all, considering Jason Blum despises it. So, not bad horror movie, not at all. Cool. Do you have any last thoughts?
No. Just like if this was a standalone film, I'd be like, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's
all right.
Supposed to be connected somehow.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd fill me in on that. I don't see the connection. Aside from there's demons now walking. This demon's going to meet up with Toby.
Yeah. There's going to be like a buddy cop sort of series, but it's
bed
like
and breakfast
Toby
situation.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Toby, what up?
Yeah. I guess that was it, huh? All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Paranormal Activity Next of Kin 6 sexy spooky bones.
I am going to do 5 sexy spooky bones because I feel like if I just came to this movie knowing nothing and just seeing, oh, it's another Paranormal Activity movie, I'll put it on. And then watching this, and I feel like they don't do enough to connect the movies, which was I think one of the better parts about the franchise is that they try to connect a lot of the movies. And so I'll take a little bit of points off for that. Yes.
Rolando, John. You just got to accept that Halloween 3 was a good movie. Season of the Witch is actually a good movie.
It's not a good movie.
Sorry, it doesn't have Michael Myers.
But those were my complaints, but I get what you mean. But, but I think if people walked into it, they'd be like surprised this was associated with it. They'd be confused, I think. So I'll mark a couple of points off that. But my overall feeling was that it just was a standalone movie we watched. It was on Shudder called Next of Kin. And we saw it and be like, yeah, this is pretty good, better than I thought. So in that case, I will give it a 5. Sexy spooky bones.
Okay, but what if Tom Atkins was in this one?
Well,
and he just bangs like every woman that is like
available
40
woman
years younger than he is. Yeah.
And some of the men. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck it. He's
sex symbol Tom
Atkins. Demon too. Actually. This becomes a thing where the demon's dependent on love.
Oh, I'm so excited. You got me this idea. It's so exciting. Yeah. Alrighty. So that concludes our annual spooky special, Paranormal Activity. Relief, John. We're going to have to do this for like another year.
Yeah. Just no more Toby. I'm good without Toby now.
Yeah. This was fun. Looking forward to the next one. Probably Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
Hellraiser. And we're not going to review it, but if you guys get a chance, it's, I think, worth watching Hocus Pocus 2. It was fun.
Maybe by next year there'll already be 3 and we could review it properly. proper reviews about Hocus Pocus. All righty. Guys, gals, not binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Toby?
That's what Toby sounds like. Yeah.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to.